We're blowing the doors wide open on Inside Wealth right here on Talk 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco. And now it's time for our Brain Trust segment, and with us today is Kevin Grauman, who is truly one of the great thinkers of our times. And he's more than just a thinker, he's actually a doer who has founded, from the ground up, built and sold a number of highly successful businesses. He was ranked, his company was ranked number one by Inc. magazine, fastest growing company in 2002. And he's up to some wonderful things in the world. Great thinker, big heart. Kevin Grauman, thanks for joining us again on Inside Wealth.
Hi, Stu. Happy to be here.
Great. So what do you have for us today, Kevin?
Well, you know, I have small kids. I have two boys, 10 and 8-year-old boys. And in watching these kids grow up and become educated on what's going on in the world, I think we can learn a lot from our children because they really do mirror back to us what they're absorbing in the big wide yonder. And one of the things that struck me recently is the concept of being a victim. Adults, I would say it's pretty pervasive, but adults in general tend to fall back on the fact that they're victims, and you know, there's somebody else at fault, or there's somebody to blame, or there's an entitlement of some kind that's due them, or instead of doing something, you know, things are deferred. And take a more passive approach to life, very sedentary approach to life. And I'm generalizing, obviously.
Sure.
But that's what I'm seeing around, you know, this victim society. And the kids tend to feed off of that. And so they become, you know, participants in the blame game. And, you know, in watching my kids and interact with other kids recently, I started to think that, you know, we have a job to do here in terms of trying to make the blame game, a culpability game, or instead of looking for fault, you know, teach responsibility to these
yes.
kids. And instead of the entitlement side, how about, you know, recognizing that you're very privileged by living in this country, and, you know, how do you flip that around? So, you know, it's got me thinking pretty hard.
And have you come up with any, you know, significant thoughts you'd like to share with us on the matter?
Well, it's a work in progress, obviously, but
sure.
I think the idea is to try and have kids be much more in charge of their own destinies instead of looking to others to you know, to push them. And how that manifests is kids will just wait for an adult to kind of push them in a certain direction and won't have the thirst at the front end to do it for themselves. So I think our job is to try and create a thirst for life in these kids, and to you know, through either participation in some sort of activity or to stimulate communication and discussion.
What role do you think it plays for each of us to model as examples for our children to be living that lives ourselves? So it's not a matter of do as I say, or you know
right.
what I mean, and us not following through with it ourselves, and rather us taking perhaps greater responsibility.
Yeah, I think that's where it starts.
Lives.
You know, I think the idea is to be more cognizant of your own demeanor and how you communicate to others, whether it be adults to adults with children who are looking on, or directly with the children, and to really take stock of the flavor that you're communicating, because kids, more than anyone, feed off of those and will mold their behaviors and their responses appropriate to how they're being treated. So if we can change that dynamic knowingly, I think we're on the way.
You know, you brought up a great point to start off the whole thing about so often kids can actually be our teachers. Not only do they reflect our behaviors in some cases, so we can more easily see things in them, as it's typically the case. Sometimes it's easier to see behavior in others than it is in ourselves.
Well, kids generally are relatively simple in the way that they think about things.
Yes.
You know, fairly high level. And sometimes we forget that that's really the key here. We get so mired in the details, we sometimes forget the big picture. And so I think we can learn a lot.
You know, I think you're right. You know, one of the greatest lessons that I learned ever was from my 3-year-old son, Nathan, when his mom, who was so ill with the chemo and radiation, who could barely move, and, you know, as one could surmise, I was feeling like I had the weight of the world on my shoulders between my hedge fund with my name on the door and the pressures with that, and coming home during the day and you know, seeing my beloved here barely alive, literally, and my son is playing at her feet, not knowing any better, you know, with his Legos and building blocks and going about his business. And the contrast was so sharp, and it gave me the lesson that it's simply a matter of what we're paying attention to.
Right.
And that in every moment, all these things exist. We can pay attention to our victimhood, all the things that are out of our control, all the ways that life sucks and is unfair. Or we could also look at, you know what, it's still a great opportunity to be alive. It's a moment where, you know, for all the craziness in our world, you know, there are opportunities to enjoy who we have and what we're doing in the given moment.
I think many times people, you know, categorize that thinking as the glass half empty or the glass half full. So I agree wholeheartedly. It's really the perspective that you bring to life.
So the bottom line here, if we can kind of wrap up this edition of our Brain Trust, Kevin, is that...
Learn from your kids.
Learn from your children. Well, Kevin, thank you so much, you big kid. Because we're learning from you, too.
Okay, take care.
Okay, you too. Yeah, responsibility is certainly one of those issues, and I really appreciate what Kevin was talking about, because I learn a lot from my children, too, and this whole notion of responsibility. In fact, I got a responsibility right now, which I got to tell you about, and that is to guide you to our website at insidewealth.net, because, you know, this is not simply a philosophy, okay? When we have a responsibility, it really is about how can we live our lives responsibly to bring out the best of who we are as human beings. That's really what it is. And there are actually business people who do that on a regular basis, who really are dedicated to excellence of service, who are here to do their best to communicate, to make sure that their clients are really happy and well communicated to, and all of that. I'm talking about people like Hutch Ashew at Pillar Financial and John Menke at Menke & Associates in creating employee stock ownership plans. So come to our website at insidewealth.net. That's insidewealth.net, where the rubber hits the road, because it does. And this simply is not just a nice thought and not simply a philosophy. It's actually grounded in everyday practice. And as we take a look and wind up what, you know, another edition of Inside Wealth here, I can't help but notice that there is a theme of responsibility that Kevin really hit the head on and Azeem talked about as well. When it's Azeem talked about the spiritual abundance and financial abundance. And in The Bowl of Stew, I kind of took the other side of that coin, the dark side of that coin of spiritual bankruptcy connected to financial bankruptcy and what's going on in our world right now and going on in our country, okay? Because the truth is we are not as wealthy as we may otherwise think. Financially speaking, okay, we are very much addicted and beholden to foreign oil. And we all know that. And we may all feel a little powerless to do anything about it. You know, which also goes back to what Kevin was talking about in this whole victim notion here. Because we've had years and years and years to figure something out and to allocate resources to. And for whatever reason, we decided not to go there. Whether it was because, and frankly, it was because oil is cheap. And we were able to strike deals to manage cheap oil. Until, of course, we don't. And I must say, does it occur to anybody here, you know, with all due respect to the current president, you know, who is an oil man, who's got all these oil friends. I mean, you know, with all these oil profits and everything else, I know it's a free country. Absolutely. And the free markets, you know, it's all supply and demand based and everything else. Okay. But from a spiritual abundance, if you were running the oil companies right now, how much money would you allocate to alternative resources? How much? You know, would you be willing to personally sacrifice, potentially, a $50 million bonus or $100 million bonus in exchange for precious few million-dollar bonus, and have that money reallocated in ways and turn the entire ship of that oil company away from fossil fuel, knowing full well that some shareholders, a lot of shareholders, would be really bummed, pissed, sell out, and everything else? and a lot of the employees would actually have to go and get retrained and find potentially other employment. What would you do? It sounds like a really hard decision, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't it seem on one very significant way that these energy companies are forms of a Titanic? And there's a giant iceberg that's right in front of them. This whole and they're going to milk it to, you know, for all it's worth, to our entire detriment. I mean, personally, I don't know about you. I've thought about this. If I, you know, I almost want to do that, you know, cowardly life. I were king of the forest, you know, of Exxon or any of the majors. What would I do? Well, this may sound very outlandish, but I would strongly, strongly do my absolute best to allocate as much money as possible to alternative energies, completely away from fossil fuel, even on the chemical business and all the other side businesses they also have, which are all petroleum-based. Get away from it completely, because it's made up of dinosaur bones, and in fact, it's going the way of the dinosaurs sooner or later, and especially with China and everybody else coming on board. And it is absolutely amazing how we have failed thus far to invest in things like education, okay, or in things like a healthcare system that really does work for everybody. And instead, we've allowed for subprime loans to get out of control. We've allowed the pharmaceutical companies to keep on drugging us. Whether it's, you know, putting, you know, whether it's for anti-depression drugs, which seems just to be absolutely rampant. All other forms of pain relief. Not at all investing proactively in our individual and collective health, physical health. It's just, you take a look at it, and it's a crazed world. And ultimately, its foundation is a form of spiritual bankruptcy. It is, because it ultimately comes down to what's in it for me. And if you take a look at this political race right now, okay, it's very much a what's in it for me. What's in it for me, what's in it for me. And there is very little us that I hear from anybody other than Barack Obama, which is why he is the inside wealth candidate of choice. Because he also understands the economic benefit of peace, let alone the spiritual benefit of it as being an ultimate truth. So here we are. We, on one hand, you know, doesn't it seem on some level, we've had this huge American empire thing and capitalist empire going on for a while now. Doesn't it, you know, have you looked at any reason why there are no other empires around? I mean, notice why the British crumbled, the Roman Empire, Greek, Egyptian, you name it. Have you noticed they're not here anymore? And have you ever wondered why? Well, they had certain things in common. One of them was an enormous sense of arrogance. Another was a fascination with exporting their way of life beyond their borders. So they kept going and going and going beyond their borders. There also, another reason for their potential fall was that the distribution of financial wealth was only in the hands of a few and became more and more concentrated between the haves and the have-nots until ultimately it just all collapsed. Started at the edges and just worked its way into the middle. Well, I certainly hope and pray that America does not fall the way of the other empires. Because in our core, where all men are created equal, that is something that is a promise and a premise that we each have responsibility for. I'm saying shed the victimhood. It's not just, you know, can't complain to City Hall. It's not about everybody else. It's about us. What are we going to do today to reduce our energy consumption and to live a life that is even more honorable, more loving, and more caring? Until next week, invest in yourself. your passions, your purpose, and your planet.
Join us again same time next week on Talk 910 KNEW. And be sure to visit our website at InsideWealth.net. Subscribe to our podcast, blog, or learn more about Inside Wealth with Stu Zimmerman. Thanks for listening. Talk 910 KNEW. Turn the clock to zero, boss, and rivers wide will swim across me.